All right, Joel Radio, what's up? How you doing, America? What's up, Canada?
Canada.
England, what's going on?
Djibouti. Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah. Big fans of them. Joel Radio, welcome in.
Number one in the Muslim nations around
that's right.
The planet Earth. Indonesia.
The show approved by
that's right.
All religions around the world.
I want to give a shout out to my peeps in Jakarta.
Oh, yeah.
And my CWPFs over there in Jalalabad.
Wow.
Right. It's close, warm, personal friends, Joel.
I know. Welcome to the show, everybody.
NBC, you later. Inside jokes.
Inside.
Speaking of inside jokes.
Yeah, it's a big show today.
How about that inside Amy Schumer?
Well, we're going to talk about Amy Schumer. In fact, I wanted to describe today. Today, the plan was to have, and we still will. We still will have this.
Yes.
The plan was to actually hold the official, and by official, I mean not in any way official.
Yeah.
The trial of Amy Schumer for being a joke thief. I thought today we would settle that
sure.
once and for all. And I appointed a 3-judge panel.
Yeah.
To
a tribunal.
A tribunal, absolutely. And in that tribunal, I selected, I went around and I found the 3 best available candidates to try it. The first was me. The second judge was Corey Hall. I figured that's appropriate because you have to be here anyway. And then we had a 3rd judge who didn't show up. So so now we can actually have a hung jury.
She stole my bit of not showing up for the podcast.
Yeah, that's isn't that amazing?
Completely shocking.
Completely stealing your thunder. Well, you thought we should have a woman.
Right.
Because a lot of this, I think, is based on, you know, women and women jokes and women stealing from other women. And so to have a woman's perspective would be good. But, you know.
Not now.
Not now. The woman's perspective is right out the door. There you go.
Well, no, I think she's taken the position of a woman in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
She's in the kitchen making a chicken pot pie.
I was going to say. Maybe it's...
I'm not talking about men's things in the court of ideas.
All right, baby, is it your time of the month? Is that why you can't make the podcast?
Day.
Huh? Ooh. You got your friend? Is it the time for your friend?
Oh, Aunt Flo is in town? Looks like you're going to be sucking some dick. Gay! Oh,
I think it's a red tide. Boy, what a... Well, see, if she would have been here, none of this would have happened.
No, we wouldn't
it's
have been...
It's not our fault
at all. We wouldn't
have
been doing dice material. Gay!
It's the time of the month.
But I don't feel like doing the podcast.
Yeah. Are your gums bleeding too, honey?
Hey!
Every awful woman joke in 10 seconds here on Joel Radio. But no, so I thought we'd have a woman, and then they didn't show up, and there's just no time to sit around and wait for...
Yeah, broads.
Broads. They're going to do that, too.
And the other woman I invited is in a spa in out of state right now.
Oh, really?
Getting a mud bath.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's
how broads do you.
No, that's all right. So we will talk about Amy Schumer and if she stole jokes or not. And I did this. I think I did this back. This might have been the episode where I talked about Carlos Mencia. And we covered it on there, too. I think Bill was in for that, Bill Bouchard. And I talked about her. But I've got all the audio now of the Patrice O'Neill stuff. I've got the audio of the other comics she allegedly stole from. And we'll hear all of that today. So we'll do that. Also, I was on TV.
Yes, you were.
I don't know if we're going to play that because it's pretty long. But I can describe that for you. And we'll
post the link.
We'll post a link over on joelradio.net for that. And other stuff. So we got a lot of stuff. Do you want to get into? Should we get into? You know, we spent an hour talking about David Bowie last week, or maybe more than that.
Yeah, we spent a long time on Bowie,
who was a legend and a guy that we both really loved. And of course, just several days later, Corey, we had the death of Glenn Frey of the Eagles. So you tell me the appropriate amount of time. We talked about Bowie for an hour. How long do we cover the death of Glenn Frey of the Eagles?
I'm done.
Okay, Corey said it all there. Corey said all he wants to say about Glenn Frey.
Look, here's the thing, and it breaks down fairly simply.
Yeah,
this is you know, there people say, well, we're all, you know, everybody is age doesn't mean anything, and I think, you know, generationally, you know, we can all just get along. No, I think there are certain generational factors that there's, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's some things. Okay, Eric Andre, which I'll get into later,
okay,
is for millennials.
Okay.
Not for me. Glenn Frey is for my dad and his generation.
Yeah. All right.
Not for me.
All right.
If there's kids who are younger than me, this is now. I wish we had.
Why is Bowie for you and not Glenn Frey?
I don't know, because Bowie was awesome. And look, I said I got in a little heat for because I said I posted the Glenn Frey obit, and I said finally some good news.
Yeah, well, that's
and
not,
look,
yeah.
I'm tacky and I'm awful.
Yeah,
and I, you know, when guys do that on other people, I feel it's sometimes stupid.
Right.
But here's the thing: if I was going to say this in life about Glenn Frey, I'll say this in death. Horrible, goddamned, awful musician.
I mean, first of all, there's way worse musicians. There's way worse musicians.
But this is where we're going to get into, and this is what.
But you can, I mean, look,
this is what Eagles defenders will.
No.
Technical.
I'm
level.
Not. First of all, I love that everything that you hate, I become on this show. I'm a Republican. I love Fox News. Everything you hate, you like direct at me, well, and that's not the case. Just because I disagree with you somewhat. My point is this: there are guys like Frank Zappa who can't write a fucking tune. Who are actually awful, and people
love
them.
And I'm no fan of Frank Zappa.
Glenn Frey is only guilty of being like radio friendly and pop, and you know,
yeah.
In many ways, safe where people like Bowie would be daring. But
it's an interesting comparison because I don't like Frank Zappa either.
No,
but conceptually, I should like Frank Zappa.
Okay,
and in interviews and things like that, I always found Frank Zappa interesting.
Yes,
you know what I mean. What Frank Zappa represents, and the things he did standing up against the MRPC or whatever the what was it, the women, the Tipper Gore's council against, you know, pop music, all those things, and all of his kind of iconoclastic, perspective. I should love Frank Zappa.
Sure, yes.
I put those records on, and I want to just choke a tailpipe.
Yeah, I know.
They're unlistenable.
Listen to Bobby Brown Goes Down. You'll shoot yourself in the fucking
head. And I'll tell you what Glenn Frey and Frank Zappa have in common. Musicianship over art.
Well,
it's you know what I mean? It's they're both on either ends of the perspective. It's a little noodly for me.
Well, but Glenn Frey is a guy that when you're sitting around the campfire...
Yeah,
you can sing Peaceful, Easy Feeling or one of these things. You know, you can sing that.
I can't.
And, well, I mean, you could. I mean, but that's his appeal to people.
Yeah,
there is an appeal to that that, you know, he had, and he was successful at that. Look, there's guys who try to be radio friendly and have hits that don't have them. Those guys are certainly more pathetic than Glenn Frey was or the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are extremely successful at what they did.
Yeah.
You just don't respect what they did.
Yeah, because, well, somebody was saying to me the other day, well, you know, this guy's a headliner, so, you know, you shouldn't be criticizing him.
Yeah.
And I went, Carrot Top's a fucking headliner.
Yeah.
Carrot Top sells out theaters.
Sure.
Fucking Larry the Cable Guy sells out more than anybody else in the business.
But
that doesn't mean that doesn't mean he's good.
Do you respect like a James Taylor? Is that something that you
Yeah, there's a difference between respecting. Look, I'm not a big.
But you don't respect Glenn Frey at all. I don't get the feeling that you.
Really hate the Eagles.
Okay,
I really do.
The
and I know people go, well, that's a bit. That's a posture. That's you're basing that on Big Lebowski. No. I think Big Lebowski was funny because people already did hate the Eagles.
Yeah.
To me, the Eagles are, they are mainstream, they are successful, and I understand that, you're just a snobby rock critic, you're just you're one of those fucking dickheads that hangs around that used to work at the record store,
right.
and would be like, you should listen to fucking Can and not this bullshit that you listen to, you're way into krautrock we've never heard, and Skip Spence. You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
I am absolutely all those things. I'm a film critic, I'm a music critic, I'm a comedy critic, I'm a life critic, as Bill Bishart calls me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going to apologize for that.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, the Eagles sold 80 billion records. None of them are fucking any good.
Well,
they're garbage. They're swill. They're oatmeal covered in vanilla.
I wouldn't say, because, I mean, to me, garbage is, it doesn't have a tune. I mean, I think the thing about the Eagles is, they made these sort of mellow, easy listening rock records.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that they didn't try to, you know, the rebellion was not there. By the time you got through the 60s, and by the time you got through the, you know, the anger of the Who and the Stones and the revolutionary, you know, style of the Beatles and Bob Dylan and these things. And by the time you get to the Eagles, it's all of that stuff just watered down. It's like you took from the Beatles the melody, you took the harmonies, you took the musicianship,
yeah,
but you didn't take the attitude, and you didn't take the style, you didn't take the chances that they did. And that's kind of what the Beatles, well, or where the Eagles came
talk,
in.
Talking about taking,
that's where they came in.
Talking about taking chances and why everybody, and why I and a lot of, and millions of people were sad about David Bowie,
yeah,
that's a guy that did nothing
absolutely
but innovate, take chances,
but,
or steal from the right sources.
But I think that is a lot of, and I think I'm trying to describe your hatred of the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think there's that too. I don't think it's literally like, I hate those records, bam, put, you know, I'm going to put both fingers in my ears and I can't listen to this, because I think that is an unfair criticism of the Eagles.
Yeah.
This music is awful. That's not a valid criticism of the Eagles.
I was having
a valid criticism of the Eagles is that it's soft. It's a milk toast. It's middle of the road.
Yes.
It's for girls. Whatever criticism you want to make like that, I think those are fair. But to say that it's bad, you know, I mean, obviously music is subjective, but to say it's bad in a way, I think, you know, comparing it to, well, something like Nickelback or Creed or something, which is actually bad music.
Yeah, but see, music is a different thing, though, because, okay, bad music is people who can't play technically.
Okay.
Okay? But I'd rather listen to a fucking Shags record than an Eagles record.
But
because there's no soul and there's no heart.
But there's things that are more... If you want to say the Eagles were trite, well, there's stuff that's more trite than that. There's stuff that's dumber, that's dumbed down more. I don't feel like...
Yeah, there is. I think I hate... Okay, one, and this is definitive and authoritative and can be proven. Glenn Frey and Don Henley were huge dickheads.
Henley, I've heard that. Glenn Frey, I think people kind of liked.
The band fought amongst themselves.
Well, if you'd...
I did not subject
History of the Eagles
to the fucking documentary.
I watched on Showtime. It originally aired. It's now on Netflix, and then CNN is running it this weekend. So if you missed out, Corey, you have many opportunities to watch the History of the Eagles.
Of those guys, yeah. I kind of have a little bit of... Joe Walsh is the one that I find more appealing.
But
except that after Joe Walsh joined the band, they went from being kind of country rock folky to being more stagey arena-y.
Well,
and that's the stuff I really hate.
Well, Walsh, yeah. I mean, when you talk about the Eagles, Joe Walsh, while he's still an Eagle, you know, the original Eagles were really Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and what was the guitar player's name?
Yeah.
He's not in the band anymore, but he's the guy who wrote
Felder
is the guy who wrote the instrumental Hotel California, and then Henley wrote the lyrics. So you could hate those three guys. Walsh kind of was added just to sort of add another layer to the band,
right?
And Walsh was whacked out of his mind on drugs, and if you listen to Walsh, the Walsh solo stuff, the James Gang stuff, the stuff he did with the Eagles wasn't all that interesting. But Walsh,
but they became a bigger band when Joe Walsh joined.
And Walsh would do Life's Been Good and some of his solo stuff with the Eagles too. So I think Walsh added an element to the Eagles that they actually really needed. They really needed a Hellraiser. You know, they really needed that edge that they got from Joe Walsh. So I think I thought Joe Walsh was great. But yeah, I mean,
aside from the Eagles, I'm going to point you in the direction of Glenn Frey's solo work.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Smuggler's Fucking Blues.
The heat is on.
To me, the Eagles and Glenn Frey just represented they were jocks that made rock and roll. It's jock rock.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah, it feels like that. It's the baby boomers melted down into a platinum Coke spoon.
It's
all of the sins, all of the hippie messages, all of the avant-garde and all the Lou Reed and all the cool shit that I love.
Yeah.
They're the opposite of it on the other side.
Well, it's music written to get girls, kind of.
Yeah.
And they did. So, you know, they
I will say one nice thing about Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
I hate him less than Jimmy Buffett.
Well, that's...
And while people said, oh, you shouldn't be happy or making jokes died.
Can you rank three people for him? I'm going to give you three people.
Yeah, okay.
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Glenn Frey. Adolf Hitler. Go. Give me a ranking.
Ooh,
give me a ranking.
Or are we going first to
worst? I think you go best to worst. Maybe.
Best to worst. Okay.
You don't have to do that, by the way. I think we know where you stand on.
Yeah.
But no, the point is
That's a tough one. I got to deliver
it. Look, I mean.
No, I just, okay.
I mean, look, you could say, look, if you want to go, well, you know, Christopher Cross and some of the Yacht Rock guys are probably worse musically in a way that you hate more than the Eagles. So I feel like.
Although, to be honest, when I was a kid, I did like Sailing.
Yeah, sure.
When it came out in 1983.
Right.
But I was a dumb kid.
I will tell you that in okay, not in the last week, but in the last month, I've listened to Christopher Cross.
Jesus.
I've listened to Stephen Bishop.
Yeah.
I have Google Play, so I can listen to
whatever. What about Rupert Holmes?
I've listened to Rupert Holmes.
Have you?
Come With Me and Escape.
That's right.
If you like pina coladas.
If you like pina coladas.
Getting Caught in the Rain.
I bet.
But I listen to those
about
are good
once
tunes.
About once a week, I bet somebody posts those lyrics on Craigslist.
Yeah.
In the casual encounters or the whatever. Seeking women.
I went and had.
Were you tired of your lady?
But it was my same lovely lady. He got the same broad.
This is okay. The Eagles to me represent a mystery bigger than anything else. I enjoy it. As a guy, obviously, I have a whole shelf of like Mystery Science Theater box sets. That's one of my all-time favorite shows. I obviously appreciate camp. I made my wife watch half an episode of Pink Lady and Jeff the other day. I just pulled that out of my aunt because I was like, I love ironic bad culture on some levels.
Yeah.
But music is the one that's hardest to like bad music.
I have a.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Because, yeah, I know what you mean.
Because bad music, you're like, turn this shit off.
But what if it's good music that you just that is overplayed, or that you know in its era was annoying because it was on all the time?
The song and then, "Brown Eyed Girl,"
yes,
needs to never be heard anywhere ever again.
I agree. Yes,
and I like Van Morrison.
Yeah, I know what you mean about Van Morrison. I hate when I go to the bar, people play Van Morrison on the jukebox. In fact, there's one bar we go to where they always play Van Morrison. And I always go, turn this fucking shit off. I hate it. It's awful. But yeah, there is Van Morrison stuff I like. It's just not those
They're not playing Tupelo Honey when you're in there or,
Well, I have a playlist. I'll admit to this.
I've noticed, though, that Brown Eyed Girl is starting to be replaced by Domino as the... song,
that's better.
I know, but they're going to beat
improvement.
They're going to beat that song into a lifeless pulp by overplaying it. It's not that those songs are bad.
Well, maybe they'll get.
I just never need to hear.
Maybe
them
they'll get to Caravan, and then we can be back.
Sure.
But all right, here's a playlist I have. I'm going to play these for you because I don't. We weren't going to do all this, but you've got me thinking here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all. Now this is. I'm confessing to this.
Okay.
So you can dislike me, and I say not you, Corey, necessarily even, or Corey, you're into this too, but to the audience, feel free to hate me. I don't care.
Okay.
I have a playlist of songs that all of, I'm not sure which is the worst, but I actually like all of these songs, and they're things I probably heard on the radio as a kid. Mm. I made a playlist, and I will play these now. Do you want to hear some of these?
Yeah, let's fire.
And you can make fun of me if you'd like. I wonder if you will, Corey. Jeez, does the audience, do you think Corey will actually make fun of me for listening to these?
I'm sure I will.
Tell me if you know who these people are, by the way. If you recognize the song, yell it out, Corey. And again, we'll move on quickly from these. We don't have to belabor the point, but these are all ballads,
just
by the way.
You and I. Sharing,
you don't know this.
What is this garbage?
This is Eddie Rabbit.
I know.
Oh, fuck
and
me.
Crystal Gale, I think.
Oh.
It might be Eddie Rabbit and...
Oh, Jesus. We'll
No, I think it's Eddie Rabbit and Crystal Gale.
Holy shit.
This is...
We'll be all right.
No, not a fan of this one. All right.
Not enjoying that.
All right, well, here's another Eddie Rabbit duet. Actually, this one's probably not as good as the last. This one, now I'm listening to it, I'm actually a little embarrassed by this. You know, the idea I would play these songs and not be embarrassed that I actually listen to these. This is Eddie Rabbit and Juice Newton.
Oh, my God. What died inside of your body?
I listened to a lot of AM radio as a kid.
What made you listen to this?
I was in the backseat of an Oldsmobile listening to this. As my mom drove around.
This is, okay, you know what the song that makes me think, like, immediately roots me in my childhood?
Yeah.
And I am in the back seat of our, fucking car we had at the time.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati, Ohio. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah,
Bonnie
that Bonnie
Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler,
I think of that, and that's where I am.
That's hot now. That's
I
hot
know.
Kitschy. All right, now this one I actually like. This actually has a connection to the Beatles. you know what the connection of the Beatles this is. I might have played this on the show. You don't know who this is. Hurricane Smith. Okay. With Oh Babe, What Would You Say? Kind of an old, kind of a 20s sounding pop song. But he was the Beatles engineer on all of the early stuff before Jeff Emerick took over. The engineer of all of those British Invasion records through like 65.
Yeah.
Through up until Revolver.
Well, this
guy was the engineer.
This I kind of like.
Yeah, and he wrote his own songs. He would play his songs for the Beatles. Ironically, he didn't. I don't think he wrote this song, but he did write all of his own songs. And he went on to produce Pink Floyd. He's also the guy who signed Pink Floyd, DMO. Hurricane Smith. All right, now this one. Please.
Why are you doing this to me?
Don't swing at my face. Hit me in the body. I need. The bruises won't show if you. You know what this is? Little Dan Fogelberg for you.
Oh,
Clark.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
What is the point of this? Other than to torture me.
Because I just want
to
say, like, this is music that I like.
You're wrong.
I like these songs.
Okay, all right.
And these are all arguably worse than.
All right, what was it, the Jeff Emerick one?
What's that?
What was the last one? The
Hurricane Smith.
Hurricane Smith.
Yeah.
That's passable.
Yeah.
In that, Let's do. I get why you like.
Yeah,
I can understand why the appeal of the Tiny Tim record.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna go listen to it, but yeah. I could get the appeal of that. It's right. Very stylistic thing. That Eddie Rabbit shit makes me hate the world. I really.
This is my mom's favorite act, so I heard a lot of this in the house. You know who this is? Corey's actually annoyed now.
Is it Paul Anka?
No, close. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, okay.
This is
I didn't hear the vocals yet. So I
say, although, yeah. All right. This has a loungy quality that you could like.
All right,
yeah.
My wife makes fun of me all the time for this. The one, my guilty pleasure that I will not apologize for ever, that I love till the end of time, Tom Jones.
Oh, I was going to say Dean Martin, but yeah.
Dean Martin's cool too, but I love Tom Jones.
There's some good Engelbert Humperdinck stuff. I listened to his greatest hits. It was all right. Let me.
You got any Tom Jones in there somewhere?
Now, this is great because this is Stephen Bishop. But this was the theme from Tootsie. It Might Be You. A great song. But I mean, this is yacht rock all the way, though, right? I mean, you can't, you know. It's got a long intro. But anyway.
Oh, God. This show just took a bad turn.
All right, I got a couple more. I mean, this is a legitimate. I'm not time, making, you know. I've been passing time, watching trains go by. Yeah, I know. It says a lot about me. What about this?
This is.
You remember this? Oh, if you don't remember this, you were dead. Well, what's the thing? If you don't remember David Gates, the lead singer of Bread.
Oh,
doing
God.
The Goodbye Girl, which was in the Neil Simon movie. No, not a fan of this.
You know what's funny, though? I do like, if you'd played Bread.
Bread's good, yeah.
If you'd played, like, Baby, I'm Gonna Want You.
Yeah, Baby, I'm Gonna Want You.
I would probably go, okay.
And then finally, this one. What about this, Corey? How can this not? It's all the make-out songs of 1976 for you. Yeah. This is Bob Welch. With Sentimental Lady. No, you don't know this one either? You probably know the chorus, but yeah.
Oh, man. All right, enough of this. This is brutal.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm demonstrating that there's stuff that you could say, is all of that stuff worse than the Eagles?
Okay, here's why it's not as bad as the Eagles, because it's not as ubiquitous.
Right. Yeah.
I have heard, and people go, and I was in an argument with, a writer I know, a friend of mine, was one of the editors at Cream.
Okay.
All right, legit guy. Goes back to the, 70s. With his, and, he had a bunch of guys on his page arguing about the Eagles, and they were all old farts trying to tell me how great the Eagles were. Yeah. And I love this argument. This argument happens all the time. Mm-hmm. When you don't like something, they're like, you just don't know. What about this song? And they pull one song out
and
of
it. And they try to make you go, if you like that, you're wrong. Yeah.
If the Eagles did write one song that I liked, that doesn't make me hate Life in the Fast Lane any less. And it doesn't make the mountain of garbage that they heaped upon us any smell any better.
No, I'm with you. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. I love that. Like one, I'm ignorant about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Those fucking songs, how many songs are god fucking awful do I have to not...
Well...
do you know what I mean? Like...
But as opposed to somebody like Stephen Bishop or somebody who didn't have this giant body of work, the Eagles can be hated en masse in that it's one song you don't like after another. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, that's maybe why you not only did you not like the one song from the Eagles, not only did you not like Hotel California, you also didn't like In the Long Run. Right. You also didn't like, you know, whatever.
Desperado.
Yeah, Desperado. You
Peaceful,
didn't like
Easy Feeling.
Yeah, right.
It just goes on and on. It's like, and those are all their top hits.
Sure.
Okay, I mean, it's not like, the Monkees have a couple bad songs. I'm going to go buy me a dog. They had some shit that they just ripped off that were crap. But
there's Beatles songs I don't like.
But that doesn't mean that, you know what I mean?
You know, is there a bigger Beatles fan than me?
Yeah. And the Beatles probably have
a dozen. Want to hear Lucy. But Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. A well-known Beatles song I hate.
I skip
that almost every time.
Album together. Well, and if you don't want to include the Experiments.
Revolution
like
9.
Number 9 and all that. You know my name, look up the number.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of good.
That's actually pretty
but,
good.
But there's some, you know, a couple Ringo
Long,
tracks.
Long on the White Album by George Harrison.
Some of the George stuff I'm not a big fan of.
The Indian stuff is
only a
that.
Northern song I could skip, but like, you know, you could put a 12 track album together of horrible Beatles songs, not a problem. Does that counterbalance the 50 great fucking songs from the Beatles?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's about the body of work. Mm-hmm. People have this issue where like they like something, they can't see the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is. You got shitty taste if you like the Eagles. That's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
All right? It doesn't matter that they're popular. It doesn't matter. You know what else is popular? Fucking Buffalo Wild Wings, okay? And that food is fucking terrible. All right?
Yes.
We'll not be sponsored by Buffalo.
I'll cancel my big meeting I had with them.
Yeah, I know. Tomorrow. I'm just saying, you know, you know what's popular? Fucking unfiltered cigarettes. They were wildly popular until about 1972. And so was lung cancer. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking stop it already with the Eagles. They're horrible. God, you put me in a... Oh,
all right, well, listen.
Dan
so anyway,
Fogelberg.
So anyway, hold on a minute. Right.
How do you feel about Todd Rundgren?
There's a couple good Todd Rundgren songs.
I've
tried to listen to Todd Rundgren. Yeah. You know, he did an album. Oh, I'd have to find it. It's probably more work.
Because that's kind of an AM radio cheeseball in a certain way who's also kind of cool.
Sure. But I tried to listen. He did an album where he basically made like a Beatles album with a bunch of guys under some other name.
Right.
And tried to kind of pass it off as like, you know, maybe that, you know, there were guys who made those records who I played them on the show before where they're like, hey, this might be the Beatles or something, you know, and I tried listening to that. And while I got where the Beatles stuff came from, it was pretty awful. You can look that up. But anyway, so I went to Bruce Springsteen last week, speaking of guys you hate.
Okay.
But I don't think you hate Bruce in the way you hate the Eagles, but you don't.
No, I don't.
You're not a fan of Bruce
people
are. Okay.
I don't hate Bruce Springsteen. It's just not a lot of his stuff is not for me.
Okay. Well, Bruce did I went to Chicago to see his tour, where it's called the River Tour. He's playing the River album all the way through, which is a double set, so it's 20 songs. It's kind of a real diehard show. But you know, this was the day after Glenn Frey died, and he did this. This is from the official download that Bruce did. This is right in the middle of the encore, kind of the first encore. He sat down with a guitar and did this, so. Bruce takes a minute to get warmed up. He's 66.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen.
See, he did take it easy.
Didn't he play Rebel Rebel?
Yeah, I got that.
Let's hear that.
We'll hear that in a second. I think he was more successful with this than he was with Rebel Rebel, because...
Take it easy.
It's a very nice moment, though, I have to say. He did a good job with it, and you know, everyone put up their phone, and it was really cool looking in the United Center. You know, 20,000 people. And people were singing along, which is weird at a Bruce show that people are singing along to an Eagles song.
while you still can. Don't even try to understand.
Anyway, there's Bruce doing that. But yeah, he also did his Bowie. So in two successive shows, he had to do tribute to guys. And him and Glenn Frey were friendly. And he was friendly with Bowie as well. Here's
I'm going to take a moment and salute the passing of our good friend David Bowie.
I think he's got to talk. He's got to tell his Bowie story first and then get right to the...
Philadelphia, that's how early it was.
Now, yes, this is shot, this is from the crowds. It's not as good as the Take It Easy. It's all right. It's yeah, kind of a right. Bar rock version of it. It's not... This was in Pittsburgh. I wasn't at this show, but I was at this. It's a nice fan shot, though. Look, this guy's right in the front.
Yeah. I don't get it.
You don't get what?
This French thing.
Oh. I just want to get to the chorus. That's pretty, a serviceable version of Rebel Rebel.
Sure.
All right, so there's Bruce doing his tribute to Bowie. And Glenn Frey, see you later.
Yeah.
From Detroit, from Royal Oak, Michigan, right? Is that where you went to high school?
He went to Don Darrow High School.
Okay, that's right in the neighborhood here.
Well, where our own John Tenney.
Another alumnus.
Is not on the Hall of Fame. But I told John he's now he moved up the list of living Don Darrow legends.
Okay, because I'm on my list.
Don Darrow's now a middle school.
Who's in the Berkeley High?
The Berkeley High
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Where do you rank on that?
It includes, let's see. We have the stellar likes of Curtis Armstrong.
Yes. Who's still around.
Who played Booger. Yeah, he was actually a super nice guy.
Booger in Revenge of the Nerds, he was on Moonlighting.
I got
and,
to hang out with him at Fox, too, and he was super cool.
He still comes to, he's still on stuff.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Fine actor.
Serviceable character actor.
Unique guy.
Marshall Crenshaw. Someday, some way. Yeah.
Who I love, Marshall Crenshaw.
Wasn't he Buddy Holly in the Buddy?
He played
Holly
Buddy Holly thing? In the La Bamba.
Oh, okay.
And
okay, he wasn't in the Buddy Holly story.
I think
was he?
No, that was
that
was Gary Busey.
No, but I mean, wasn't there?
He was in Beatlemania. He played John Lennon in
John Lennon in Beatlemania.
Anyway,
but I thought there was a Buddy Holly musical, but he might have been too old for
he
that.
He was Buddy Holly in La Bamba.
In La Bamba, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Marshall Crenshaw's that first record's great.
Yeah. Kind of a skinny tie.
Yes.
Skinny tie music as a genre. New wave, skinny tie.
It's kind of.
But it's actually rootsy rock and roll, but at the time.
It's not too dissimilar from like Nick Lowe.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like
it's
pop.
Garagey
retro
pop.
But
clean, not distortion.
I would say actually, Marshall Crenshaw, look for there's a collection of all his demos.
Okay.
And I like the demos better than the polished stuff because, you know, the 80s production tended to be a little rounded.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was sort of, I think his, maybe I can find some Marshall Crenshaw for you. The best of Marshall Crenshaw. Hopefully these aren't re-records.
Yeah. There
you go. You see your guitar, not a lot of effects on the guitar, very clean sounding, very stripped down, little tambourine. Yeah, you're not going to pass this guy on the fame.
All I can do is wonder why someday, someway, someday, someway.
Yeah, I mean, this actually sounds very 50s, but in the late 70s or the early 80s, this was considered new wave because it was retro. And it was,
yeah, it's like part of that like Elvis Costello-y.
So he's good. And then anyone else from Berkeley High that you know?
Eric Morris, who played in the NFL. And that's about it. I think we're... people say that Alice Cooper went there, but he didn't.
He didn't.
Went to... I'm trying to remember which school he went to. Anyway.
I don't know. I know he lived in Pontiac later.
Groves, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
They're two most famous alumni.
They're crosstown rival.
That's right.
Of yours.
My mom went to high school with... Christy and Lottie.
Oh.
And then a couple years younger than her, Tim Allen.
Okay, interesting.
And they're both in her yearbooks. If you look around her yearbooks, you'll find Tim
Allen. Well, I in the world...
It's called Tim Dick.
Tim Dick. In the world of comedy, I will never pass my, I guess, most famous alumnus of my high school, of Chippewa Valley High School, but Paul Feig. The director,
that's right, Paul
the director of Bridesmaids, creator of Freaks and Geeks. That's why I always say Freaks and Geeks is based on my high school, because that's right. He created Freaks and Geeks, and that was the high school Paul Feig went to. And he was actually a classmate of Steve Bills, a comedian who's been on this show a lot of times, so he's from there. And also comedian Dan DeCappa.
Okay.
Who, I'm probably more famous than Dan DeCappa at this point.
I would.
But he's a guy.
Dan's still doing comedy?
He sells real estate mostly, but Dan's another guy who, in comedy, I know, went to my high school. Younger than me. Steve Bill's older than me. Dan Cappy, younger than me. Never at high school with either of those
guys.
Oh, wait,
I'm sorry. I forgot. Excuse me.
Oh.
Apologies to Joshua Davis, who was on The Voice last year.
Oh.
He was one of my classmates, a friend of mine.
Oh, I don't know.
He was.
Look up who my classmate.
He was a finalist on The Voice.
Can you look up famous, are you looking up famous alumni?
Let me look up Chippewa Valley.
Yeah, look up that. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be listed, but
this thing. By the way, we promised Amy Schumer talk, and we've gone way off.
I think
the road.
We may not. No, we
are narrow casting. On
no,
this
well,
thing.
We're going to get to that. I think we'll talk about me on TV next, because we're talking about me being famous, and this was a TV shot for me.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have Chippewa Valley alumni?
I'll work on that while you.
Okay. So I was on this thing. Bill Bouchard had done these.
Mm-hmm.
And so he volunteered, he threw my hat in the ring to do this thing called Fox 2's Fame or Shame, where you...
I never did one of these segments. I did Fox 2 for 2.5 years
still time.
Or so. Yeah.
Well, they did other stuff with you.
Mm-hmm. No, I did. I was on Fox 2 all the time, but I never did a Hall of Shame.
Or Fame or Shame. Still.
Fame or Shame. Well, there's also Hall of Shame is where he goes and
finds
a contractor who didn't finish work or whatever.
Yeah, Rob Walchek is the guy who will bust a sleazy banker or
scam
artist kind of guy. And he also does these product reviews called Fame or Shame. And he said, well, Bill gave him my number. And he goes, well, look, we're looking for a guy to test an electric jacket.
Okay.
Would you want to test this electric jacket? And I said, sure, I can do that. And he goes, well, you want somebody, you have a house, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, we'd like to get you shoveling the snow, doing housework, that kind of stuff. I said, fine, And then I was going out of town to the Bruce Show in Chicago. So I was there for 3 days. And so we had to shoot it later, and then he came up with this idea of going to the zoo, shooting with the penguins. I said, oh, that sounds great.
Mm.
And then, of course, that turned into the zoo didn't really want us in with the penguins. Somebody said, we're going to bring Joel Fregomeni in with the penguins. They said, not a good idea. So then it ended up, we ended up in a seal deck, is what they call it, where they feed the seals. You can go to the zoo, and you can walk around this thing, and you'll see the seals underwater. And then you can see him come up to get fed, and that's where I was. And it was 25 degrees, I think, the day we shot this. Very cold. And the jacket that he gave me was... okay. Are you famous?
Sorry, I found the...
No, no, please, break in.
I found the Chippewa Valley alumni.
Oh, God.
You might be right behind Paul Feig.
I might be, because I'm sure there's...
It's David Hahn, who was known as the Radioactive Boy Scout. Attempted to build a homemade breeder nuclear reactor in 1994 at age 17.
Boy, I've never heard of that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go. And Michigan politician Kerry Torres.
No.
And Kelly Gunther, speed skater. So you might, Joel, you're not too far off in the rankings.
Boy, I got to make some big movies soon, though, to beat Paul Feig.
There you go.
He's right up there. So
it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, Paul Feig is way more famous.
You might have to find a fat girl to fall down.
Oh, Curtis Armstrong's
Melissa McCarthy. I mean, not that.
Look, I got lots of fat girls.
Your phone.
There's no shortage of that. Yeah,
you got plus size honeys all up in that phone. You can bust those digits right out.
Now
put them in a movie with Jason Statham and make them fall down, and you'll be okay.
Listen, what was I talking about? Okay, so I'm testing this jacket, and it's like a jacket with a big battery pack. It's actually like very similar to like what you would charge your phone with. Like, in fact, if you look over there to your right, Corey, I have a big battery to charge my phone. You see it there, the orange and gray thing.
Okay.
In front of the television, right on the stand.
Oh. Okay.
The television stand, there's a big old gray and orange brick looking thing. That's the battery.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. And you put it in, and there's apparently some heat coils that are supposed to heat up. Well, you can see the test. I'm not going to play it for you here, but me and one of the animal handlers put on these jackets and tested these on Fox 2's Fame or Shame last night. So I'll have the link for that in on JoelRadio.net. So it was a nice little thing. A lot of people hit me up and were watching it, and you know, I put up the link on Facebook, but I'll put it on the I'll put it up in the show description on JoelRadio.net. So go look for that. It was a fun little bit. I had a couple good lines in it. I had more good lines, but you know, you never know how the edit. You know, that's the problem with these bits. You know, when you do like your shots on Fox 2 were live.
Yeah.
So you were doing these things, and you had to be funny on the spot, and it was continuous.
Mm-hmm.
With mine, you have the pro of being an edit is, you know, you of being edited, and you know them cutting it down is that you can throw a bunch of stuff in there, and hope that some of them work, and then that's what they use. Oh, you're also at the mercy of them cutting out stuff that you liked. And here, there was one thing I did that. I, you know, there was a guy in the flyer for this book who was like a real hipster, and I tried to see if I looked like him with the jacket on. I thought it was funny, but apparently it didn't play well. I don't know. But
I noticed that they did not get small people to try out.
Well,
these,
you know, it was according to Rob Wolchek, they sent him a large jacket. Rob thought it wouldn't fit me. So he had them send him an extra large jacket, which was the one I tried on, and then the lady at the zoo tried on the large jacket. Now, actually, this also didn't make the air. I thought that the large jacket would have been better for me because having it tight made the little heat packs up against your skin and actually kept you warm. So to have the extra room that I had in an extra large jacket was too big for me, I thought, believe it or not.
Well, yeah.
So anyway. You can look that up.
There you go.
I did a test, and the company that made the jacket has a response. You'll see it on the piece if you go watch it on the web. That maybe the jacket didn't work for this reason or that reason. They had a bunch of reasons. So, but that was fun doing that. I was close to a polar bear, and I was close to seals, and that was pretty cool.
Wow,
you don't get that close to seals.
No, not really.
They wouldn't let me feed a seal.
Those bastards,
which is unbelievable.
Those bastards.
Like I can't feed a seal. Have they seen me and my dates on a Friday night? Have they?
No. Bastards.
All right, let's move on. Oh, speaking of TV, Brad Wenzel on TV. Our buddy Brad, Detroit area comedian, was on TV on Conan the other night. So if you want to check that out, Conan O'Brien at Brad Wenzel on TBS. Nice spot for Brad.
That's right. Good job,
Brad. Has some of the best jokes you'll ever hear.
Well, it's funny because all of the jokes he told, I've heard.
And a million times.
I kind of knew which jokes were going to make
Brad was the set. Brad was at the Comedy Castle this past weekend as the feature act. So I saw him. I saw him on Saturday night, and then 3 days later, he's on Conan. But he did a great set. He did a nice little set. He's a great comic for TV because they're short jokes, and he's a real likable dude. He's got a unique style. He's kind of, you know. In fact, Brad was on this show. That's I guess the connection. Oh, when I was doing those O'Mara shows, they were about 2 years ago. So look up spring, like February, March, April, somewhere in there.
Was on one of the O'Maras.
In 2014, Brad came and did a spot on one of those. So.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the O'Maras episodes.
Well,
having lived it.
If you lived them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, I actually remember the one that he did, I believe was also where my ex-girlfriend Heather got heckled. It was kind of a crappy audience for that one. But
they were always crappy.
No, some of those were good. Some of them weren't. And there was the last one I did of those is actually pretty legendary because I kind of quit right on the show.
As well, you should.
I kind of said enough of this shithole. I'm out of here. So anyway.
Oh man.
All right.
But good for Brad. It was funny. I'm like, oh wait, here comes the soup. Here comes the dragon bit.
Yeah, that's his closer.
Yeah, I was like, I knew
that's a good bit.
I've worked with him. I knew what joke.
Well, the Pee Wee Herman joke is great. I'm not going to do the jokes. Pee Wee Herman joke's great. And I liked his the thing. I think it's relatively new where he talks about the Gremlins Fight Club. That was very funny as well.
Yeah,
so
was
good spot, Brad.
Brad's a good kid.
You're doing well.
I saw him when he was like 17.
Yeah,
he came in and did the comedy class.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Bishart and I both looked at him and went, well, this kid, when his balls drop, is going to be pretty good.
Well, his balls have dropped.
And, you know, because sometimes guys will just not have anything to talk about.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's his style, though, too, is that subsurdist, you know, which works for him.
Whenever you say
he made that work for him.
Overnight stars in comedy, there really are none.
Well,
but Brad's put in a good 5 years or so and gotten really, really good.
When you have a guy who's, I mean, Brad's older now, but when you have a guy who's 17, 18, 19, it's hard for the audience to relate to them because they'll have jokes about, you know, getting drunk on the quad at college that no one can really
relate to. Isn't homework shitty?
Yeah, man. You know what I hate? When you're on Snapchat and, like, people send you a snap and then you click on it, but it goes way too fast. You couldn't read it. And then you can't click on it again. But then, so then you try to screenshot it, man. And then they're like, why are you screenshotting my Snapchats, man? You know, like, people that do those kind of jokes, they can't relate. The thing about Brad that's great is that it is absurdist. It's not really of any age. It's these weird observations.
Now,
and they could be made by anybody of any age. It's great.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. That makes him good for TV.
Yes,
he is a kind of a of Stephen Wright-ish style, you know,
Mitch Hedberg,
the late Mitch Hedberg, in a simple setup punch kind of way, which is a very clever.
Yeah,
that's always good for TV. There was a Detroit contingent of comics that were in the crowd.
Okay,
last night that was pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know if any of those guys were on the O'Mara's shows, but Zach Stein, was he on?
I think he was on an O'Mara show.
Yeah, some of our friends, Ricardo Flanagan, Zach Stein. I guess anybody who was out in L.A. managed to get in.
Huh.
Trevor Smith. So that was cool that the Detroit comedy scene is continuing to percolate.
Well, look.
Out there in the West Coast.
I know. It's funny that, you know, Brad is kind of this new Jack comedian. He's on Conan.
So take that, Riverside, Iowa.
And I'm this old comic who's testing a fucking electric jacket
on the local
news. By the way, did you see the clip they pulled off of YouTube?
Yeah.
It's from a club that's been out of business for like 8 years.
That wasn't the Joey's that just closed.
No.
That was the Joey's that closed 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, they didn't even like play a joke from it. It was just literally
it was you on stage.
It was footage of me on stage for 2 seconds.
At Joey's comedy.
I think that was to give proof that this man's actually a comedian. Here he is.
Well, the problem is they won't give you the proof of being a comedian by letting you tell jokes.
No, not at all.
I find this is one experience I've had with TV, and Rob Wolchek seems like a good guy.
Rob's a great guy. I liked hanging out with Rob. Rob's funny.
Like I said, he said Bill.
I liked Rob a lot.
Rob Little are friends on there, but sometimes you do TV news, and those guys don't want you to be funny because
they
want to
be the star or whatever.
They're going to show you they're funny.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? Yeah. They're not funny.
Well, the thing about Wolchek that's great is that Wolchek is exactly what you see on TV. He walks in, he takes charge, people say stuff, he seems annoyed, he kind of gets under your skin, you know, he's great like that, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean,
but it's cool of him to put comedians on.
It's cool. Nice.
But I wish they would have given you a little more room.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine with it. Because, you know, what it was at the time, because, you know, I had jokes. I actually had pages of jokes in my pocket about animal. You know, some of the stuff I found on the internet, I even wrote some jokes specifically about, you know, the zoo and animals and trying to relate to, you know, jokes about, you know, I think I had jokes about like, I haven't, you know, like jokes like kind of like I just, you know, I haven't fed a seal like this, you know. If you think I can't feed a seal, you should have seen me on a date last week.
Hi-yo.
You know, like that. And I think I even said, you know, I like
they
a seal.
Get...
I have an extra layer of blubber and shit like that. I had jokes like
that.
They
get real touchy about what...
Well, the zoo people. Zoo people, not a great comedy audience.
No?
Yeah, because as much as we want to take a seal and put him in a party hat, believe it or not, the people at the zoo will not find that funny. And not that I tried to put a fucking seal in a party hat, but... It might not have been a bad thing for television.
Look, I understand it's for the better. It's for the health of the animals and the whole Sea World thing.
Yeah.
But the days when you could just, you know, have a camel smoke a cigarette.
Right.
Television used to be all about like, let's put a fucking silly hat on this rhino or whatever.
Let's nail a bear's feet to this bicycle and have him ride around in circles.
What happened?
That's a great bit.
What happened for goofs?
Yeah, for goofs.
Whatever. Fucking around with animals used to be a whole Mutual Omaha.
Right.
They would just go out. They'd send not Marlon Perkins because he was old. It was his Jim.
I don't even know. Yeah.
It would not Jack Hanna, the other guy. Anyway, there was a whole show, and the whole premise of the show
Mutual of
Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And they'd send these guys out there and go, hey, why don't you go tickle that jaguar's balls? Just fuck with him. Fuck around with him.
Well, listen, the belief that I hold that on some level, animals were put on this earth to entertain human beings right. is not a belief held by the people in the Zoological there was Society.
In the 70s, there was a whole genre of like, hey, let's give these orangutans paintbrushes, huh? Let's see what these fucking scamps come up. Hey, you goofs.
Nothing is funnier to me than the cat with the lime on its head.
Yeah.
You ever seen the lime cat? It's like a meme.
Yeah.
It's like a cat where somebody took a lime peel
people
and put
still,
it on its
people
head
are still doing
and
stupid
made a
stuff.
Roman helmet out of it. It's great.
People are still doing stupid stuff to their dogs and cats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Putting them in Yoda costumes.
But yeah,
and,
you can't you know, do that anymore.
But you can't play around with wild animals.
Not at all.
Just have a goof for a wild animal.
People take a Shih Tzu and they put a Chewbacca bandolier on it, and they put them in the passenger seat, and it's awesome.
Right.
That's fucking great.
Now it's not. Now we can't throw water balloons at cockatoos. I don't know what happened to that shit. But that used. Remember, okay, you know what a show that could never exist anymore?
What's that?
Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp.
Okay.
Did you ever see Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp?
No, I don't know
that I did yet. No?
No.
It's an entire show. About a secret agent chimp.
Okay.
And they just dressed up chimps and they put them in go-karts.
Yeah.
And then they played. You've never seen Lancelot Link?
I don't think.
Oh, you got to pull this clip up.
All right.
They had a rock band called Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution.
All right.
And they just, it's a fucking chimp beating on the drums.
Yeah.
I don't know how, this show must have been a nightmare to shoot.
Well.
They would just put.
There's ways of making those chimps do what they want.
Right.
Let's just say, and it's not considered humane. And
anyway, it's a half-hour show with monkeys riding around chasing each other in spy costumes.
Well, apparently,
we can't have fun like that.
Apparently,
anymore.
Like Clyde, you know, the famous orangutan and the Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can. Apparently, that guy beat the shit out of those guys because you saw those, you know, in the 70s and stuff in the early 80s. There was, I mean, I remember That's Incredible had the. Orangutan bartender, I think you can find that on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And the orangutan bartender would like light your cigarette and make you a martini.
Right.
And he was in like a tuxedo. How entertaining! I mean, can you get more entertaining than that?
No, you can't have that fun anymore.
No, and that's all over. They took that.
You remember
away
the
from
Beastmaster?
Us. Yeah,
the Beastmaster with Mark Singer.
Yeah.
They took a fucking leopard and painted it black. what did they do? No. They like literally took a lion and just dyed it black. Made it the wrong color because they couldn't find a panther, apparently, or something.
But isn't a panther just a black mountain lion or something?
Yeah, but they wanted it to look bigger.
Oh.
And I'm like, you don't fuck around with that shit anymore. Now you can't do this. You can't goof around with animals.
Well, Ringling Brothers
That movie's great because he's got a hawk and like a black lion, and then he's got ferrets.
Yeah.
This is his menagerie of animals. And the ferrets, he calls... He's brilliant. He's a barbarian. And he says, I will call you Kodo and you Podo. And he's got two ferrets named Kodo and Podo.
Right.
And he keeps them in a bag and he runs around. I mean, he barely has it's Mark Singer oiled up wearing like a loincloth.
Ringling Brothers got rid of the elephants.
Yeah.
So that's over too. No more elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Elephants, because we're going to be a thing like our grandchildren, should we ever have them. They're going to find out that we watched elephant. We would go somewhere and watch elephants.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to go like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Right.
It's barbaric. How could you do that? Yeah. And it seems like something completely natural.
Well.
To us.
I'll get to some bizarre things people used to watch nowadays.
All right. So do you want to do, speaking of watching things, Making a Murderer, I know, is a big sensation.
Yeah.
And I went through and watched that whole goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. I took a breakout, by the way, of watching every fucking movie that was released last year, which we'll get to on the next show. It's supposed to be the movie show, but I'm like three or four behind. I'm trying to watch all the Oscar-nominated movies, at least in some categories. So
okay.
We'll have that as the next show. But I took a break to watch Making a Murderer on Netflix. I know you saw some of it.
I did.
And because as we get into the trial of Amy Schumer, let's talk about the trial of this idiot.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing about Making a Murderer. If you saw it, if you didn't see it, I guess you could say there'll be spoilers in here. I don't know. Who cares? It's a real life event. It's not like we're ruining, you know, the new X-Files for you. Although Corey, I'm sure, would be happy to do that. Here's my problem with Making a Murderer. Okay, it's a real life event, and as a documentary, I believe. And look, there's documentaries that advocate for positions. I get that. I understand that. But, you know, there is now an army of there's an army of people. I know we talked about this with someone who was talking about this last week. But, you know, there's an army of women in yoga pants
Yes.
Who are very upset on Facebook that this guy was convicted of murder. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, there is a group of people who armed with a $7.99 a month Netflix subscription,
yes,
who are threatening to have who are really, really demanding justice by sitting on their couch on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this movie, this series, I guess you could say, Making a Murderer, in my opinion, after watching the entire 10-hour run of it, really, really gets it wrong, and it's too bad.
Yeah.
Because the thing with this guy, and the guy, certainly the guy, I don't even know the guy's name. You think I'd know after 10 hours, but believe me, it was...
Steve, what is it?
Steve Avery.
Steve Avery, thank you.
He...
I think I did a show with him in Indiana one time.
He used to have trained monkeys. You could go down... You could go down to the fair and watch Steve Avery.
You know what we used to
and
have?
And his train.
Speaking of animals you could fuck around with, the fucking chicken that played tic-tac-toe.
Oh, can't do that anymore.
Have you ever seen that?
Banned by the government.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I used to go down, my grandmother used to like
That's
to
a
go.
Work, though. You know that's a work.
What, that the lights go up?
There's a guy, they drop a little piece of corn
in
whichever, wherever they want the chicken to get it, and then the chicken pecks that. It's a work.
Well, I remember this being a machine.
It's a carnival thing.
I remember this being a machine.
Yeah, but there's a guy operating the machine.
There's a guy that sits there and waits for somebody to put a quarter in the fucking chicken machine. I remember in the 70s, there would be, we'd go down to like Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay. And
where all things humane are happening.
I know. Gatlinburg is this like hillbilly amusement capital.
It is.
And it was,
more jug bands per capita probably in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
If you wanted
per
to,
capita,
it was basically like, it was like a lot of like arcades.
Yeah.
Where you could like shooting galleries, and skee-ball.
Every place has their little amusement, like the Jersey Shore.
If you wanted to buy hard
something,
candy.
Yeah.
This is like in the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's like the gate to the Smoky
It's Eastern
Mountains.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's between Knoxville and the Carolina, the
but
North
it's kinda
Carolina
like
border.
The entrance into the Great Smoky
Smokies,
Mountains.
Yeah, Smoky Mountains.
And then now there's and then in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, there's Dollywood,
yeah.
Which is Dolly Parton's amusement park. Mm-hmm. And this is like, it's putt-putt golf. It's a
couple big hills on that roller coaster.
Here's a coming down the mountain.
Boy.
Look.
That Dolly Parton joke might be 45 years old. It might be older than me.
That is. It's an old joke. Anyway, hillbilly at Metropolis, and I remember we would go down there, and I think that there was a chicken, the chicken that plays tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
On the boardwalk out front of the hotel that we stayed at. And there was a vending machine. You go up to it.
Okay.
And there was one, and I swear to Christ.
It was a real chicken.
It was a real chicken.
In a machine.
It was in a machine. So now there's like a...
I'm going to have to do some research.
Now there's like an animated one, but this was a real chicken.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Because I know there's an animated
one. And I think what it was, you're right. I think the feed would drop down in the slot and the chicken would
peck. And the chicken would peck at the feed.
To fucking play tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I believe there was another one that was like a rabbit on a fire truck.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got the rabbit in there.
What did the rabbit do in the fire?
The rabbit would run around and like hit these buttons and the water would shoot out in this like little fire truck display. That I'd love to find.
I don't know.
That is some.
Well, that's a car. It's a carny amusement that doesn't exist.
That is
anymore.
Some 70s shit.
Yeah, that is some old
that
stuff.
Don't exist anymore.
But anyway, back to Making a Murderer. You know, the thing is, this guy, and I know you watched the first one, and I think we can all agree, because here's my point. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy, Steve Avery, was definitely, the cops got it wrong in the rape case. I think we can all agree on that. I'm not going to dispute that.
Okay.
They have DNA that pins it on this other guy. And I think he was wrongly convicted for that crime. He served 18 years, deserved to be compensated for spending 18 years in prison, mm-hmm. wrongly convicted. But he absolutely, 100% killed that woman.
May, there you go.
So, you know, and you can make up this thing about, well, the cops had a vendetta against this guy and they planted evidence. And certainly this documentary goes out of its way mm-hmm. to make you believe that. But that's all just fantasy land. It's all just bullshit. And look, is it a better story if that's true? It is. But, you know, people don't understand what a sociopath is, too. And I think this, I don't know if I talked about this when we talked about the Jinx. Maybe we did. We talked about Robert Durst on the Jinx. But, you know, people like to believe. You know, a guy goes on camera, and this is the truth of the Paradise Lost movies and the West Memphis 3 that everyone, you know, championed. And, you know, they were eventually let out of prison, largely based on these movies. Was that, you know, when a guy looks into the camera and says he's innocent, people will believe him. And when people can do it with a straight face, it's very convincing. And what people don't understand is that that's what a sociopath is, or that's at least that is at least a characteristic of a sociopath. Somebody that can look you in the eye, lie to you, and be emotionless about a thing that most people would be bothered by, that's a sociopath. So the fact that you're being duped by him, you don't have to feel bad about it. Like, oh, I got duped. Oh, I'm not. And people are like, I'm looking at him. I can tell he's innocent by listening to him. You can't. That's why he's a sociopath. If you or I had to sit here and, you know, you were being questioned about some murder and you were like, you know, I didn't, you would probably feel very bad. You know when your friends lie because you have this consciousness of guilt. You have a moral compass, and it comes out in the way that you talk about things. This guy doesn't. And so, yeah, you're believing that he's innocent based upon what he's saying, and you want to believe this giant conspiracy, which, by the way, the conspiracy for this guy to be innocent, and that's why this thing is ridiculous at a 10-hour length. I mean, it's 3 hours of facts followed by 7 hours of speculation about what a bunch of assholes the cops are. I mean, it really does get into almost 9/11 truther level of bullshit at a certain point, and it's too bad that people are falling for this. And I just want to say, look, people, when a guy's bleeding in a vehicle that is hidden on his property by the woman that drove it there, she was the last guy to see this guy, you're going to be guilty every time. So you can spin your tails. It's really, essentially, they have basically the OJ defense. You know, yeah, there's blood. If it's his blood, he's guilty. But we think the cops put the blood there. That's really the defense. And while they made it work in OJ, they don't make it work here. And, you know.
I don't really get that whole, I made a joke, you know, which mostly one person was like, well, I live in. I find that the people that like true crime the most live in neighborhoods that don't have crime.
Well, there's that, yeah.
I feel this is like, it's CSI yoga pants. It is very much this like Lululemon bitches that like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That live in these little safe neighborhoods. And send their kids to Montessori schools, listen to NPR podcasts about someone who committed a murder. It's not a genre. Well,
it's people that have never been the victim of a crime.
Yeah.
That suddenly, well, it's also, you know, you could say that it's, you know, when you have somebody that's either a minority or in this case, you know, of Steve Avery, a really, really poor guy with a very low IQ, that we feel sorry for them. And we go, boy, these cops are such meanies. And these West Memphis 3 kids, man, they just had Metallica T-shirts, man. That's all they did wrong. They didn't kill anybody. You know, they're just all this Steve Avery, man. He just got a, you know.
Well, and it's also
he was on the wrong side of the cops.
I think it's
man.
Interesting that there's a white guy in this case.
Well, yeah, but he
because there's a movement going on right now which has, I think, some factual basis to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like all other things in life. Gets blown out of proportion. We don't have time for the Oscar argument.
Well, maybe on the next show because that'll be our movie show.
But we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's another case where some truth is conflated into a realistic, like,
right. Yes.
There is a kernel of truth. There is absolutely truth that there's sometimes the cops are completely out of line and abusive.
Yes.
And in this case, I think they're like, let's find a white guy. To show you how fucked the cops are.
Yeah.
Because this almost always becomes a racial argument.
But, you know, again, it's a poor, unintelligent guy who can't really defend himself. That's the argument.
Now,
he didn't understand what was happening. And then if you keep watching Making Murderer, you know, they implicate his nephew as well, who's really stupid. And who really, you know, almost, if there's any, you know, justice, maybe they could look into him because, boy, they might have coerced a confession out of this guy that didn't actually take place. And there's an argument for that. But the Steve Avery is a bad guy who killed somebody. I mean,
the thing, though.
Yeah.
Usually, these people that end up committing crimes or getting caught up in crimes are in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
To begin with.
Mm-hmm.
There's things you and I are not going to do
at
any point in our lives.
Yeah.
That people end up doing.
Yeah.
That you know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't hold a lot of appeal to me.
Yeah.
Because it's generally what doesn't happen. There are obviously horrible miscarriages of justice, and the cops will rush to conclusions and frame the wrong guy.
Yeah.
What almost never happens, the cops aren't going to knock on the door right now and go, Mr. Fragamenti, we need to talk about it. Because you're not going to be.
I hope they don't.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They're not going to just randomly frame you.
They're not. No.
They're going to maybe get the wrong guy, Yeah. Or maybe get the wrong evidence. But there was something you probably did to mm-hmm. be on that list of suspects.
Sure, yes.
You're not going to be a random suspect.
No, I mean, well, and this guy, and the thing about this, too, is that, you know, a woman disappeared on his own property. You know, Corey, if you disappeared
mm-hmm.
and you didn't come home and your wife reported you missing and she knew that you were on the way here to do a podcast with me,
yeah,
they would come and talk to me.
Well, sure.
You know, and if they found, now they probably wouldn't find your car in my backyard, but if they found your jacket or your laptop or your cell mm-hmm. phone somewhere on my property, that would look pretty suspicious that I had something to yes. do with your disappearance, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that's the problem with this whole thing. Is
or
that
you
people,
mean if they found a bunch of your blood
in, well, they're that too,
in
yeah.
the Chevy Bronco?
Well, right. If they found if they found my blood in your Ford Focus,
yeah,
it would be an issue for me. Uh-huh. But you know, but the problem is, look, there are people that hate the cops, and there are people that believe poor people get railroaded in justice. And when you take those biases and you apply them to something like the Steve Avery case, then you're going to get all upset about something that you shouldn't be all upset about, people.
Well,
you're losing your goddamn mind.
No, it's that they take what is a yes, there are obviously
yeah.
cases where the police are out of control, but then they will act like every cop on the beat every day
well,
is out there busting heads.
What makes the Steve Avery thing unique is that he was railroaded for the rape that he didn't commit.
Right.
And then it looks like, well, now he's getting railroaded for the murder that he didn't commit. And that really isn't the case. And there are really good articles. There was, I think, a New Yorker article about this case where it talked about why making a murderer went wrong or something. And it really is great because there's a lot of evidence that was left out of the documentary. The filmmakers tried to explain why things were left out. But there's a lot of things. Most of the stuff that was left out makes the guy really look more guilty. And so that's a little unfair to solely. But that's the way our justice system works now. You know, people watch a movie, they get all fired up and think they have all the answers. And they don't,
yeah.
you know. And when there's things that, you know, now when you look back, I think if you look back on. And again, not, okay, like, what was the Al Gore thing?
What, Inconvenient Truth?
Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
Okay. There were deadlines in the Inconvenient Truth for, you know, passing whatever, that have already passed. You know, things that were, by 2014, if we don't do this, the Earth is going
this
to blah, blah, blah.
Happen, yeah.
And those things have already not happened. So I think that movie is sort of, now looks a little silly. I think Fahrenheit 9/11, while bringing up some interesting points about the Bush family mm-hmm. and that stuff, I think largely looks a little alarmist now. I think when you look back on that, you can look and go like, yeah, Michael Moore was kind of a little.
Yeah, but in 1989, when Michael Moore said that the city of Flint was being abandoned by not just General Motors, but by the political system.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Does he look wrong now?
No. I'm not talking about that, okay, but I'm saying there are some movies, and I'm giving you some examples. I think Making a Murderer fits more into that.
I don't
that.
Think anybody thinks the invasion of Iraq was a good idea at this point. Is there anybody that does?
No, but I think that his reasoning was not sound. And I think a lot of those connect. When I said, why is Jeb Bush not the Republican nominee for president?
Because nobody wants to go near the Bushes.
Well, but the Saudis are no longer like the Bushes.
Well, okay.
But I mean, you know, that was the thing. That was the thing.
I haven't seen Fahrenheit 9/11 in a while, but yeah. I guess what you're saying is some of the more conspiratorial.
Exactly, yes.
Well, but okay, this is my. Speaking of you mentioned the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not get into a detail about the X-Files.
No,
other
please.
Than.
Can we talk X-Files today?
I'm just going
to
say this.
I just wanted to talk.
The basic premise of this new X-Files.
Yes.
Is that Alex Jones was right.
Yes.
That's they have a character.
Well, that's
Joel McHale is playing a character that's basically Alex Jones.
Stripping things from the headlines.
And they're like, oh, Mulder watches his show and goes, wait a second, I was thinking about this wrong. Bullshit. Like, a lot of the problem is conspiracy stuff, is you're right. They put hard and fast deadlines or predictions on things.
But,
and when you're not right on a prediction, then.
But there's no. But there's. The thing is, it is. Conspiracy theorists are. It really is religion. Because it's not based on fact. It's based on faith. There is a faith that, you know, the moon landing was fake. All the evidence that the moon landing was real will not persuade somebody that the moon landing was not, you know, was real. If you believe that the moon landing was fake, that is what you believe. There is no evidence that will change your mind. You know, there's a thing this week. I don't know if you saw about it. I think his name is B.O.B., the rapper. I don't know if it's Bob.
Thinks the world is flat.
B.O.B. Yes. And he says the world is flat. And he puts mountains of evidence about the world being flat. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson was, you know, debunking his stuff on Twitter. And, you know, that guy will believe the world is flat until he dies.
Well,
there is nothing that you believe. And so
now,
people that
there
want
there are things, though, talking about faith, there's things like we cannot prove or disprove that there are alien. That's all got to be speculative.
Well,
because there's no, and then they'll got to be able to go, no, there's proof, there's definitive.
Well,
but when you say that we didn't go to the moon,
yeah.
One, there's motherfuckers that were there.
There's proof. Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin's still alive. And two, the fucking Mythbusters shined a light on the direct coordinates that NASA said we left mirrors on the moon for telemetry purposes.
Yeah.
And the fucking Mythbusters went to the Griffith Park or went to the observatory in San Diego, or San Francisco, and shot a fucking light at it.
Yeah.
And it bounced off the exact coordinates because that's where the fucking thing was.
It's the whole moon thing is ridiculous. I mean, look, you could find crazier conspiracies in the world than Steve Avery getting framed by the cops. The moon landing, I think, is pretty. I mean, the world being flat. But again, you know, but
which of course doesn't mean that the cops don't frame people.
No,
and it doesn't mean that there aren't things that go wrong. It's just that people have a tendency to always look for conspiracy. And I know you and I have argued about the Kennedy thing over and over.
Yes, and I know that you are on the side that there was some conspiracy.
Yes, but
I don't
believe all of the conspiracy theories that people go, because some of the ones that they're easily the thing with conspiracy.
But that's a weasel thing too, though, to say I believe some of this but not all of it.
Well,
that's a weasel way of arguing.
I personally believe that there was some involvement of the mafia in the Kennedy assassination.
Okay.
But the thing I don't believe is that the entire federal government was issued orders. Like, because conspiracies are things that exist, but they are usually small groups of people.
Right.
You know what I mean? You and I could create a conspiracy to rig an open mic to fail, and we'd succeed at that very well.
Huh?
Because the open mic, you know what I mean? I'm saying conspiracies are generally things that occur in a smaller scale.
Well, it's when all a conspiracy is when two people agree to work together to do something.
And
generally speaking,
that
in secret.
Happens.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Doesn't happen are when thousands of people agree to work together.
Yes.
Because you and I know that if you work at a fucking office.
Yeah.
You can't get 10 people to agree what time to have lunch.
Yeah, you can't agree what to have for lunch. You can't agree.
Get fucking married.
Yeah.
You can't decide what you're going to eat every fucking day with the woman that you put your penis in.
Yes.
So how are we going to get the entire federal government on the page?
They can't agree if they want pizza or Chinese, and they're not all going to agree that, hey, let's kill the president and we'll keep our mouth shut.
Now, that doesn't mean that some guys within the organization or that's why the mob thing makes more sense because it's a smaller organization. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the Navy and the Army don't even agree about what to do together. They have internecine fights between, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's always dick waving and jockeying about, you know, this is a Navy project, not an Army project.
Well, that's what happened in 9/11 was that the agencies weren't talking and that the intelligence was not being shared because they
these 9/11 is more to me an example of gross incompetence.
Exactly.
And this is I would say that about the Flint situation.
And
this is a case of gross incompetence.
And Steve Avery's rape conviction was more incompetence than it was conspiratorial in its hey, let's go frame this guy.
I think what happens when cops frame people is that they take the easiest way out. Because they say, we've got evidence. This is what everybody wants to do.
Yeah.
Cops want to get the thing off their desk.
Well, we've already got our guy.
Right.
That was what they said, is we've already got our guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're saying this guy did it, but we already got our guy. It's this guy.
Now,
but I think the reason, just to get on Making Murder real quickly, is that the reason he really was convicted for the rape, and again, I've read this in articles, was because of the eyewitness testimony of the victim that positively identified him. She picked him out of a lineup and positively identified him. Okay, go ahead.
The same reason that Steve Avery, though, people can go, well, they made a case against him. Well, Steve Avery's a poor guy who's made bad mistakes.
Had a 70 IQ.
And it's the exact same reason why Robert Durst got away with shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because a smart, rich guy can get away with shit forever.
Yeah, good lawyers and...
Dude, people have been making this argument about Kwame Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
That his sentencing was excessive or that he wasn't guilty because Snyder poisoned Flint.
Yes.
Well, I don't think Snyder's off the hook.
No.
I don't think we should stop. I think there should be an investigation.
Yeah.
And the best case scenario that the governor of Michigan, if you haven't been following this story,
yeah,
there's a whole imbroglio with the Flint water crisis. Mm-hmm. Look it up. They made a call and the pipes got corroded because they didn't fucking properly test the water.
They changed the water source,
yes,
to a river, which the river has industrial runoff.
The river
in it
has
and
been
yeah,
polluted from years of industry. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, here's why governor.
But the best thing, that the best case scenario is that they'll be incompetent.
Right.
That's
Snyder,
the best you can hope for is
Snyder,
that they fucked up because they didn't do their jobs right.
Snyder is not criminally responsible for Flint. But here's where Snyder is responsible in the sense that Snyder, when he became governor, said, we're going to cut wherever we can cut money. And I said this when we elected Snyder, and I probably said it on this show. He's a guy that said, we're going to run the government like a business.
Yep.
And whenever you run the business, run it like business, you're going to cut here, you're going to cut there. The reason they got a different source for the water was to cut money. And you go, well, why would Snyder be in charge of Flint Water? Because there was an emergency manager that was appointed by the governor that he told this emergency manager, you have to cut money out of the budget. Find ways to save money. So this guy said, okay, here's how we'll save money.
Yep.
We'll get money. We'll get water out of the Flint River instead of Lake Huron. And, you know, from the city of Detroit, they said, we'll get it from this river. And little did they know that that river would corrode the pipes would put lead into the water, and we have the situation we have now. So Snyder's political policy, his fiscal policy towards the state of Michigan
led to this situation.
So that's why you never elect a guy. You never elect a guy who goes, or you know, Ross Perot was like this. Ross Perot exactly ran on that. I've run a business. My business made millions of dollars. I'm a billionaire.
You elect people that don't think government should exist.
Yes.
As to run the government,
yeah,
that ain't going to work.
And you know
that's
what?
It's going to be a bad solution.
And it's actually Trump. It's funny that Trump, you would think, would be running on that. I'm a businessman, and I run. Trump is running on like jingoism and stuff. Trump is not even running. He's running on idealism. He's not even running on I have fiscal policy.
Well, but
I mean, he is a little bit. But I mean,
Trump's going. I'll negotiate. Yeah, I can know how to run business.
Yeah,
he is running on that, and it's all nonsense.
Trump's not running on, I'm going to get out the red pen and start crossing things off, though. He really isn't. To his credit. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for Trump or that anyone should.
I think there's
even though I think a lot of people are going to.
I think there's kind of an unrealistic expectation for what people go, oh, well, he's successful.
Yeah.
He'll make the government successful.
Yeah,
that ain't the way it works.
Well, look.
And Snyder with his, I'm going to run it like a CEO, and I'm going to do it top down, and we're going to have the emergency manager, and we're just going to make the decisions. Well, there's a reason you have all these things in place. There's a reason why government is slow.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's redundancy. Because you need somebody to
There's a reason governments run a deficit.
Right.
And you know what? I'm not saying a government should run a deficit, but should a government be piling away money for a later? You know what I mean? Like should the government be squirreling
turning
money
a
away? Yeah, no, it's not. The government only exists to serve the people. And you can argue, you need this. You need a Social Security fund and all those things. And I guess you do. Yeah. You know, and you need money for in time of war, you're going to need extra resources, but you don't need to go like we need to have a bottom line to share with, you know, people go, well, look, if we had all this money, we could then cut the taxes. They're not going to fucking cut the taxes.
Yeah.
Don't be a dummy. People think that, oh, if we saved all this money, that what we'll do is we'll say, oh, you guys, hey, Corey, stop giving us money every month.
Yeah.
You know, you give us money every week out of your paycheck, Corey. You don't need to do that anymore because we saved it for 5 years. That's never going to fucking happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, Reagan did that. Was a unique time.
Well, and of course, it's like, oh, look, we have this budget surplus. Let's fucking patch the roads up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you can say whatever you want to do. Bush said, let's give everybody $600. Remember how well that worked?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how long ago was that? It would be 10 years ago now, right? That Bush said, let's give everybody, because I bought a computer. Mm-hmm.
Reagan said he didn't feel in his heart that he'd sold weapons to Iran.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, let's drag that guy into the dirt, but look.
But this all leads to Amy Schumer's jokes.
Yes.
No,
it doesn't. Now that we've solved the Flint water crisis.
We've done a lot. We've solved a lot of things. We've solved the Steve Avery murder case.
Yeah.
We've solved the Flint water crisis.
I guess what I'm trying to say about Kilpatrick isn't any less guilty because Snyder's guilty.
No. It means nothing.
People make these false equivalent arguments all the time. Well, and that's what makes me fucking
they're
nuts.
They're called racists. If you want to throw race into it, then you got your, oh, well, this white guy is off the hook and the black guy's in jail for blah, blah, blah. Come on.
Well, absolutely. There is a real problem that there's a disproportionate amount of black men in prison.
Yes.
That's a problem. Oh. Does that mean Kwame didn't fucking do it? No. Kwame's as guilty as sin.
But there's no accusation that Snyder did anything illegal, that he knowingly did anything illegal.
Well, we'll find out what's in the papers. I don't think at the end of the day they're going to go. Yes. What'll happen is they'll say, you fucked up, you were incompetent, you didn't properly vet this. They'll find something on him. But criminal negligence.
Kwame.
I don't think at any point Snyder went into a room with some guys and smoked cigars and went, how do we fuck Flint?
No, but
I don't think that
Kwame
happened.
Kilpatrick took the government and used it as his personal checking account.
Yes.
And you know, used it as his petty cash and was spending money right and left on furs for girlfriends. I mean, mm-hmm. It is unbelievable shit that Kwame Kilpatrick was up to. He was a gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
He took the city.
He ran
of
it like a personal ATM.
And ran it. Yeah, I mean, it's not even equivalent to what Governor Snyder did. And you could say that that Snyder's incompetence led to people dying, and you would not be wrong. But you also can't say that Snyder deserved to be in jail for this or that Kwame deserves to be free. Well, that's the other thing, you know. If you let one guy free, you got to let everybody free. You know, this guy gets a pass, so everybody
again,
gets
it's
you know.
False equivalency. Okay. People do this all the time. Now let's get into another murky area.
Murky?
An area of accusation.
Yeah.
An area of bold statements and people setting the record straight.
Yes.
Let's get into that, where people think that they're all little Angela fucking Lansbury's.
Well,
and they're hanging around Cabot Cove solving mysteries like they're fucking Lieutenant Columbo, and they all think they got to the root of the matter.
Well, you
Let's
know,
get into the Amy
it's
Schumer.
Funny that when we talk about conspiracies and how people, and a lot of this now, of course, is fueled by the internet. But, you know, there is this thing, and we talked about it when we talked about, and believe me, I wanted to present this Amy Schumer thing as a trial and present the evidence and not jump to conclusions, but I think we're already into it. I think there's really no point in trying to do this because, you know, to do it in maybe the way that I set out to do it. But Amy Schumer is being accused of stealing jokes by what we call comedy nerds. And as Mark Maron said on his most recent podcast, he opened his show talking about the Amy Schumer controversy, and he described the internet lynch mob that is out to catch comedy thieves as unfuckable hate nerds. That's a quote from Mark Maron. Very funny opening segment on the
Maron went like a 10-minute rant.
Yeah. It's the show with Michael Moore. If you want to listen to that, speaking of Michael Moore, but yeah, it's he did a great rant about it, mm-hmm. and I've talked about it. Look, but let's play, let's give it a chance. I'm going to play you some things. I'll have links to the articles on joelradio.net, so you can go click on those. But these are jokes that Amy Schumer accused of stealing. You're going to hear the original, then you'll hear the joke. The first thing you're going to hear is Wendy Liebman, veteran comedian, been around for 20 years, Wendy Liebman, veteran comedian. I know Wendy, I've met her. Good, really funny lady, but been around a while. She was on America's Got Talent three seasons ago, and went pretty far. So Wendy Liebman, pretty well-known comic.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I like it when the guy pays for sex. I mean that.
And here's Amy Schumer.
Person, I swear to you, like, I'm very old school. I think the guy should always pay on the first date for sex. And
Now look, so there it is. In 16 seconds, you heard both jokes. Wendy Liebman using the term old-fashioned. Amy Schumer uses the term old school. I think the guy should pay for the first date for sex. That's basically the joke. Now, look. Is that a theft? Is that something that was stolen? Is it something that was... look, I think that's a pretty easy joke to come up with. But the fact that Wendy Liebman did that joke on television, perhaps a decade before Amy Schumer did... Does it make Amy Schumer guilty? You can save your thoughts. I'll give you more evidence.
All right.
You ready for more evidence? Okay. Now, the next one you're going to hear, this is Kathleen Madigan stand-up. Kathleen Madigan, a woman who, a frequent headliner at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. So I know Kathleen very well. And I've heard her do this joke live many times. She does a joke about Oprah Winfrey. And then you're going to hear a sketch from Inside Amy Schumer, a sketch show that has, what would you call a similar premise?
I get why poor people are fat. But Oprah, you're a billionaire. You have enough money to pay a man to stand there and literally slap shit out of your hand before you put it in your mouth. You...
Kathy Madigan on Oprah.
You could hire a full-time food slapper.
You look amazing. What are you doing? Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig.
Yeah, right. Those take too much self-control. Last time I checked, I wasn't a robot. Boop, boop, boop. Nope.
How'd you do it?
With Slap Chef.
With Slap Chef.
With Slap Chef.
Slap Chef? What's that?
It's a new weight loss program that takes decision-making out of the equation.
How does it work?
First, one of Slap Chef's world-class chefs makes you one of their signature dishes. Then, before you can say Slap Chef, they knock it out of your stupid mouth. Slap Chef.
What kind of food do they make?
All kinds.
Sandwiches. Slap Chef. Lobster bisque creme fraiche. Slap Chef. Turkey. Slap Chef. Fettuccine Alfredo. Slap Chef.
All right, so there's Amy Schumer's sketch. Now, bear some similarity to Kathy Madigan's bit. Kathy Madigan's bit is about Oprah. The sketch was not. You know, it as a weight loss plan. I mean, that's the premise. Slapping shit out of your hand being the punchline. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. Very similar. But again, and I think Mark Maron mentioned this in his rant, that, you know, these sketch shows are not all written by Amy Schumer. There's a team of people.
Sure.
And there's somebody who could have been a Kathleen Madigan fan who had heard that bit and decided to work it into something.
Yeah.
So there's okay. I mean, there's similarity. Mm-hmm. I see the similarity. We all see the similarity.
Sure.
Okay? Now let's move on to this one. Now this is Patrice O'Neill. This is the thing. And she was accused of this months ago.
The late great
Patrice
O'Neill.
I don't think I got a chance to play these on the show. But this is where he does his weird sexual positions bit. And you're going to hear, and this is a little longer, so...
You have a gorilla master? Gorilla master?
This is a sexual position of gorilla master.
You come in a face, right, and then take some pubic hair and throw it at her. You have a Darth Vader? Darth Vader, you come in both her nostrils, and she has to breathe like this.
Okay.
You have a poltergeister? Poltergeist is good. Well, you need your friend, though, right? Like, you're fucking him from behind, and then you sneak out, and he takes your place, and then you walk outside and wave at her through the window. And then you go, I'm here. Stunk, Jay.
There's the Abraham Lincoln. That's where...
And here's Amy's bit.
The guy trims his pubes, comes on the girl's face, and then throws the pubes so she has that facial hair. You guys don't like U.S. history? I can't gauge the crowd. What's wrong? The worst one I've ever heard is the Houdini, which is where... the guy's having sex with a girl from behind. Then unbeknownst to her, his friend subs in for him. Guy number one runs outside, knocks on the window, waves to the girl.
That's the...
Which is just rape. Like, that's just rape.
All right, so there you go.
It's not fair to Houdini. Like, no girl...
All right, Corey, so the evidence is in. That's what these bloggers are using. And then there's a guy who's got, like, he's a magician who does sketches on YouTube, and there's some sketch about why you shouldn't date a magician. You can find that on the internet. That from Inside Amy Schumer, there's a sketch about how you shouldn't date a magician, and that is similar to his. That's up there as well. I mean, look, here's where my take, and I think people know this. I think I've said this on the show, but look, you know, nothing here is that specific. You know, the street joke thing, I think they even say, you know, Amy's even saying it a bit, this is the worst thing that I've heard. Meaning it's not something that she made up. She's sharing something that she heard.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neill, because people are saying, well, if you go on Urban Dictionary, these jokes were posted up there, these sexual, the gorilla mask and that. Those things were on there before Patrice.
They're completely street jokes.
They're street jokes, yeah.
The Cleveland Steamer.
Yeah, right.
I had a list of
the Rusty Trombone.
The Rusty Trombone, the Arabian Goggles.
Yes.
You know what that one is?
Yeah, I think so.
That's when you put your balls out of her eye sockets.
It's similar to a Roman soldier helmet.
Yeah. Look, there's
the tea bag.
I had a print. I think we printed a list of these out at Kinko's in like 1999.
Yeah, right.
John might have still been working at Kinko's.
Yeah.
We printed a list of these off the internet because back then it took a while to get a file up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we had a sheet of these in my house.
Yeah.
These are not, this is not original material.
It's not.
And I don't, and Patrice O'Neill was hilarious and a great comic.
Yeah.
Absolutely a great comic. But you got to know that that's a guy that filled time.
Yeah. I mean,
that talked off the top of his head.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neill, as brilliantly funny as he is not a guy that sat there like Robert Klein and wrote every word that he said.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was a guy.
He was a guy holding court telling jokes.
And he'd sit, which is a style.
And they're jokes he heard in large. Yeah.
Which is that is very successful, and I think a lot of black comics do it.
And
you watch Patrice O'Neill, and he'll be like, look at this lady over here. Look at this fat bitch.
Yeah.
And he'd do 20 minutes of that fucking
shit. But there's the thing that Patrice is doing, and plenty of white comics do this too. I mean, this is a tradition really that comes out of Borscht Belt comedy where, you know, there are guys who just tell jokes. I mean, Gilbert Gottfried doesn't write all those jokes he tells on stage.
No.
Jackie Martling doesn't write all those jokes he tells on stage. Norm Macdonald tells jokes on stage that are not his jokes that he wrote. There's jokes you heard. Because comedy really is folk art. It really is a tradition that is passed down from one person to the next. It really is something that, you know, evolves over time. And there is something that, you know, when you hear these premises, when a comic like Wendy Liebman comes forth and says these things about women dating and you know, the rules about dating a man and all these things. And then Amy Schumer comes along years later. It's going to be at least a little similar to what the people that came before you did, you know? Listen, you hear Chuck Berry in the Beatles, you know? You hear Elvis Presley in the Beatles. You hear the Beatles in you, too.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Paul McCartney said he was basically doing Little Richard.
Yeah.
And that was his influence.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's you know, it's like anything else where, you know, and the thing about it is, here's the thing. If you're a comedian, the audience has an expectation of what the comedy is going to be, okay? And you can't be completely original. It just simply wouldn't work. If you go on stage and talk in a way that no other person has ever talked on stage before you, you will not do well. If you go on stage, I mean, and then there's people like Andy Kaufman who come along, and there's mavericks that come along and change things up. But generally speaking, you know, is there a comedian that you can't define? Is there a comedian that hits the scene? Like we were talking about Brad Wenzel. How do we define Brad Wenzel? Well, he's kind of like Stephen Wright. He's kind of like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
He's kind of like this guy. He's kind of like these guys that came before him. If you were going to describe my comedy, if you saw my influences, you would go, it's Robert Schimmel, it's Woody Allen, it's, whoever. I mean, you know, we've all got those.
Am I saying that Amy Schumer didn't get some of these ideas from other people?
It's possible.
It's very possible.
Very possible.
Wendy Liebman, of everybody, Tammy Pescatelli was on there yapping her mouth.
Yeah.
On Twitter. And Tammy Pescatelli, God bless her. That smells like a little sour grapes.
A little bit.
Wendy Liebman has a case in that she's been around since the dawn of time.
I don't think that's true, but...
Okay, she's been around since the early 80s.
She's been around
Elaine Boozler was ahead of her, right?
Sure. Yeah,
now, if Elaine Boozler said, and this will happen often...
Say Wendy Liebman probably came out in the early 90s, probably. Yeah. But
Here's what will happen. People will say, well, whoever was first, that's who... And you'll hear this occasionally.
Yeah.
And you'll hear guys go... Well, they ripped me off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Sometimes they're completely right.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Ballard and the Midnighters did the fucking twist.
Yeah.
And then Chubby Checker went and turned it into a multi-million dollar record.
Yeah.
And generally, in fact, the shit that's popular and successful in the first one.
Yeah, usually.
Edison did not invent the incandescent light bulb.
No.
He just managed to make it stable and perfected it. And in fact, had a current war with Tesla over AC versus direct current.
Well, Henry Ford didn't invent the car.
No.
He invented the assembly line.
No.
He made it good.
And so I got this book here. Okay. There's a book called The Comedians.
Yes.
Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy.
Okay.
By Cliff Nesterov.
Okay.
Now, Cliff does spell his name K-L-I-P-H, which is an innovative spelling of Cliff.
Commie.
Yeah.
But
well, he's Russian. Anyway. But okay, this book. All right. This book, I urge people to go check this out. It's a good book.
Okay.
It starts with vaudeville, and they say that you had to have a prop in vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
That you weren't really a comedian if you didn't have a gimmick or a prop in your act.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody in the 1910s, in like 1918, was doing blackface.
Okay, yeah.
Not even guys that were doing ethnic material. They weren't even doing minstrel acts.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing Jewish jokes in blackface.
Yeah.
Because that was just the style of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hope did his earliest comedy in blackface.
Okay.
And then he said he stopped doing it because one day he was late for a gig because he missed the streetcar. And the owner said, you know what? I like to see your face making expressions. Don't put the blackface on. It was a guy named Frank Fay who invented doing comedy by yourself.
Okay.
Everybody before that had props or were a duo act.
Yeah.
And they did routines.
Sure.
Like who's on first.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Frank Fay, was the first MC who did burlesque comedy and said, instead of just bringing out, they would put title cards up for the next act.
Yeah.
He would actually come out and introduce the acts between the stripper and the midget and the chimp that rode a bicycle. Anyway, I'm saying this book is chock full of people going, you stole my act.
Well, Benny
was accused of stealing everybody's act in the fucking 1930s.
Well, that's why it doesn't become stealing. It just becomes the way that the tradition is done. Things are passed down. You can't, and it's also, it's too much.
A guy named Jackie Leonard said Rickles stole his act.
Enough of that book.
And I'm just saying, this book is full of this stuff.
And
what they conclude is, Rickles was ultimately a better comic than Jackie
Well, that's
Leonard.
True, yeah.
No one remembers Jackie
Leonard. Schumer's a good comedian. I think
everybody
we both agree
Don
on that.
Rickles.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's also too much responsibility, and I said this when I talked about the Mencia thing a few months ago, but it's too much responsibility for any comedian to know every single joke that every single person has ever told in the history of the world. It is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, Corey, when you write a bit, go, how can I fact check this bit? All right, I'll go on YouTube and watch every comedian that's ever lived who's telling a joke. It's impossible. It's too much responsibility. And yet there are nerds out there who will go, we got this.
Right.
There's guys on Reddit who are like, oh, we've got this covered, man. You put out a comedy special. We're going to check it against every other thing. And it's like, boy, that's just too much responsibility for anyone to sit down and write. Look, if you took my comedy act and you went, you could find guys doing, small penis jokes and jokes about this thing and the internet and things that I make jokes about my act. And you could find people doing jokes on the same topics. Absolutely. I'm sure we could do the same with your act.
Well, look.
Yeah. So,
you and I have both had guys that have done our jokes.
Absolutely.
And we've talked to them about it.
Yeah.
I think publicly calling people out, it generally looks bad for you.
Well,
I've also, the late Jim Hamm, who was a local comic that we knew and worked us on his radio show. He was like the sidekick. I caught him one night. We did a show.
Yeah.
And he did at least 15 minutes of Bill Bouchard's act.
Okay.
Not like a joke.
Yeah, right.
Not like one line.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes guys will go, well, that's a line. That's close.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. He did 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. He did wholesale.
Yeah.
Did the last half of Bill's act in its entirety, then came up to me and went, Bill sold me that stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
That,
he did like his whole bit, and Bill's whole closer like builds. It starts here and goes bit. He did the whole thing. And I went, all right, that's a case of a fucking thief.
Yeah.
All right. There are guys that certainly steal stuff.
Yeah, because.
But with Wendy Liebman, every female comic since 1986 has probably appropriated something Wendy Liebman did.
Right. You can't sit there, though. But what makes a joke unique is the, you know, when it's comparing, you know, two disparate things that would never be like the joke that you've talked about privately with me, that there's another guy that's doing a similar version of your joke. It's so unique, and I don't even want to do it because I don't want to get any, you know, you can if you want, it's your joke. But my point is that it's so unique in that you're taking these things that would never be in a joke together and putting them together. It's not a natural observation that you would make. It's something unusual. It's something creative and clever that you would not put together. To say that a man should pay for sex on the first date, or men should pay, you know, or whatever, you know, that's not that original of a thought. And it doesn't mean that Wendy Liebman sucks or that Amy Schumer sucks because she's doing it. It's just a thing that you said.
Well,
you know,
I will say that the in the case of the Patrice O'Neill stuff,
yeah,
she was friends with Patrice O'Neill,
yeah,
hung out with Patrice O'Neill. I don't think either of them were doing terribly original material there.
Okay, yeah.
I think they're both doing fucking street jokes.
Yeah,
and anybody who's never done comedy, it's real easy for you to throw the fucking bombs.
Yeah,
but you fill the time.
Well, you'll
go there, fill the time.
Yeah,
you go in front of a hostile audience,
right?
And so what happens is sometimes you do
well.
Gilbert, as you said, does 20 minutes of the most original shit you've ever heard.
Completely original,
doing fucking James Mason, talking to Peter Lorre, whatever he's doing. Yeah. He's doing these great impressions.
And it's brilliantly funny.
He did Katharine Hepburn talking to Dr. Zaius.
Yeah.
Hilarious shit for me.
Yeah.
The audience is kind of confused.
Yeah.
Then he goes up and goes, a rabbi walks into a bar with a duck on his shoulder.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the fucking people love him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's doing dirty jokes.
Yeah, yeah. It's the thing is, here's the thing. I think the problem with the internet, and I think it's people, because Maron says this too, it's something he's like, you know, if you've ever done comedy, you can't accuse Amy Schumer of being a thief based on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever done comedy, because the thing is, nobody's act. But the thing is, I think on the internet, before I finish that point, there are people that are considered legends. There are people that are considered gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a Louis C.K. or some of these guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're considered gods amongst these comedy geeks. Again, guys who've never done comedy.
Yes.
But are fans of it. They're aficionados. And they, you know, but the problem is nobody's act can take that scrutiny. Because nobody's act is that, you know, everybody's act came from something before it.
Yeah.
Seinfeld comes from Robert Klein. In the large part, you know, I mean, it's not, it doesn't mean that every Seinfeld line is lifted from Robert Klein, but the stylistically it is, you know, Louis, you know.
Okay, Paul Reiser.
Yeah, Paul Reiser.
Anybody ever compare Paul Reiser and Seinfeld?
Yeah,
Do they sound similar?
Right.
I mean,
Paul Reiser kind of comes from Richard Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Lewis came from Woody Allen. You know, you can see the lineage there. You know, and look. You're going to have your Dennis Learys.
Well, okay.
And you're going to have those guys.
There's been extensive cases.
And there's been Dane Cook and Louis C.K., which we've heard those things. And we've heard
now,
the thing about
C.K. has dropped a lot of accusations.
Yeah.
He said Dennis Leary stole the asshole bit from him.
Okay.
Now, I don't doubt that at all, because Dennis Leary stole the fucking Hicks stuff straight up. There are guys who do take stuff.
Yeah.
I think of the Amy Schumer, it might just be a case of... some of the material that she does isn't all that complicated.
It's not original. But it's not a theft, but it's also not, you know, they're jokes that are, but you know what? Here's the other thing, Corey, that and I tell this when I teach my comedy class, you know, when you say, as the comedian on stage, when you say what the audience is thinking, that's when they react, you know. It's not the only way that comedy works, but that's a lot of how comedy works, is I'm going to say what everyone is thinking. Well, people are only thinking a certain number of things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So to write a joke that is, hey, everyone is thinking this, so I'll say it, that is not a ripoff.
Right.
You know? You know, that is to accuse everybody in the world of you know, having unoriginal thoughts. It's you can't do that. It's not the way the world works. I'm sorry.
No,
there are joke thieves. There are people who will steal your material There are people who steal your jokes. There's guys on Twitter. There was the fat Jew guy, whatever his name is, who was he signed some what is it, a development deal, or did he sign a book deal, or he signed some kind of deal.
We left him off the assholes of the year, and I feel bad about
it. Yeah, that was probably an oversight.
That guy is a straight up joke thief. And Twitter is a bad fucking scene.
Oh, it's a terrible venue for comedy.
Now, you know, Jay Leno said recently, I heard him on, I think, Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan said, why don't you do any specials?
Yeah.
And he hadn't done specials in forever.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's because, as Jay said, I'd like to know what my jokes are.
That's
I'd
true.
I'd like to see what my act is.
Yeah.
Because Jay says, come see me do stand-up.
Yeah.
And also, Jay did comedy on television every night for 20 years.
Yeah, so.
Now, 90% of that was written for him.
Yeah.
I'm sure Jay wrote about 4 jokes a night.
Well, I don't think...
Or whatever.
I think Jay still develops his material with writers, even now, that he's not on television.
He's got writers.
Well, first of all...
But when he goes and does his act at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach every Sunday night, you're going to see the Jay act that he's been doing
for 20 years. Dennis Miller's got writers.
Sure.
He always has. You know, I mean, Jeff isn't it Cesario wrote a lot of the Dennis Miller stuff that he would do on his specials and stuff. So, look, you just can't sit there. Amy Schumer, here's the verdict, in my opinion, as one of a 3-judge panel wherein one judge is in absentia.
Yes.
One judge is sleeping in her car. Amy Schumer is not guilty.
All right.
Not guilty. Corey Hall.
I will say...
The Honorable Corey Hall.
I will say that on the merits of did Amy Schumer steal individual jokes from Tammy Pascatelli and Kathleen Madigan? No.
Wendy Liebman. Yes.
Is Amy Schumer kind of hacky?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That's fine.
Now, I worked with Amy Schumer, name dropping, but I did work with Amy Schumer. She's legit. She's the real deal.
She's a great, good performer.
Great entertainer.
Good performer.
She got the audience rolling.
Good comedian.
Knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I saw her. I saw her this summer.
But she's also very calculated.
At the Oddball Comedy Festival.
She's also very calculated and focused on success.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when you're focused on success?
Yeah.
You'll do whatever it fucking takes.
Exactly. And does that mean
that your premises are a little hacky?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? And I'm talking about calling out guys on jokes. You got to really look at your life sometimes when you're like, and that's ultimately, I go, wow, I'm going, you know, I did the fart in the mason jar bit before you did. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I was the one that was like, let's save a fart in a mason jar and put the seal on it. This is the madness that being a comedian is. You start going, now, wait a second. You're telling me you were the guy that invented the let's piss in the punch bowl joke.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous stuff to argue over, is what I'm saying. Oh, God. It's an empty fucking life.
Oh, God. All right, I found my... You want to hear my television bit before we go? Because we're ready to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is what I did on Fox 2 the other night, everybody. I just want you to listen to this. So here we go. Play this little
bit. Champion!
This is me on Fox 2.
I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair.
This is me on Fox 2.
No respect! No honor!
In with the seat.
There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes.
All right, that's not me. That's Dusty Rhodes doing a promo. But I thought that was funny. It was my fault.
With a tear in my eye. Why don't we just do a show where we play wrestling promos?
You know, it'd be a fucking great show.
Yeah.
Be a great show.
Yeah, we'll just, that's.
Well, I always had, oh boy, should I sell this on? Here's another one of my great $1 million ideas that will never go anywhere. Mm. Was to do a sketch show where everybody comes out and you just have guys getting in the gimmick and then doing the promo.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But you only need like 4 guys. Because you could just, you know, one guy could play like, you know, the interviewer, and then the various guys come out and they cut all their promos.
Right.
And you just do the promos word for word. And, you know, one guy does Roddy Piper, one guy does Hulk Hogan, you've got a Randy Savage in there, you got your Dusty Rhodes, your Ric Flair,
sure.
Your Road Warriors, you could have 2 guys come out and do that. Tell them about it, Hulk. Well, you know, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Be great.
We were talking the other night about
It'd be a great show.
Yeah,
You make a lot of. Go ahead, you go ahead and do that.
We were talking about doing a wrestling themed restaurant.
Okay,
where just all the sandwiches were named after. You know, you'd have the gobbledygooker, you know, your turkey sandwich.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you know the Nacho Man Randy Savage. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just thinking about all the great you know, your breakfast plate, the Rude Awakening, all the great wrestling themed dinner items. There you go.
Boy, we're full of great ideas, aren't
we? We're just chock full of wonderful.
Oh, that's hack. That's been done, the internet would say.
No one's done.
There's a place with restaurant sandwich, wrestling sandwiches.
Nobody's ever done a show that tied Dan Fogelberg into the Flint water crisis and into vaudeville comedy. All right? This is, no one has done this.
Before we go, is there any Christopher Cross you want to hear, Corey? I'll
play no, I'm pretty good.
Okay, you're good on that. All right, let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening to JoelRadio.net.
If you listen to this whole show,
well, then
the code word is
well, listen,
Blumpkin.
It's funny that we are speaking probably, you know, people that like podcasts are really the comedy nerds that are calling out Amy Schumer. So in some ways, we're insulting our own audience. But, you know, hey, what can
we
do?
Again, like it's like with everything else, like all those conspiracies.
Yeah.
I think there's a kernel of truth to this.
Yes.
I think there's a kernel of truth to that Amy Schumer goes after easy premises.
Yeah.
Do I think she sat with a notepad and went, let me take this from
Yeah, let me watch this old Wendy Liebman special.
I don't think she did that.
No, no.
All right.
All right. Well, unfuckable hate nerds, we're going to say goodnight. And we'll catch you next time. Hopefully no rock legends die so Corey won't have to get all upset.
Yeah.
Or somebody... If somebody's good dies, Corey's not upset.
There you go.
Which is ironic. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. Again, find the links to my appearance on Fox 2. That'll be up on the website, as well as all of these Amy Schumer articles. I'll have links to all of those up there as well.
And look for The Comedians by Cliff Nesteroff.
Right.
It really is a good read.
Sounds great.
Good stuff in there.
We'll get out of here. Next time, it's Movie Mania, the best movies of 2015 and our Oscars preview. And we'll probably talk about why black people can't get nominated for an award, which is not true.
Let's ask the guest chair.
That guest will not be here. Guarantee you there will not be a guest next time. It'll be me and Corey talking movies for probably 7 to 8 hours based upon all the movies I've seen. Hateful Eight alone will get its own hour. Okay, the over-under. The movie show will be longer or shorter than the Hateful Eight.
Jesus. I don't think I can take that.
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think I can handle all that.
I think it'll be more entertaining than Hateful Eight. Let's get out of here.
All right, kids.
Good night. Goodbye. God bless.
Now see the Cleveland steamer.
Let me tell you about the...
Good.
Goodbye.